time is it?
7:01.
Okay. 7:01 on May 14th, 2018. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 2nd, 2018, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was mailed to the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Parker?
Here.
Ms. Parrott?
Here.
Ms. Sheehan?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. Okay, well, I'm going to dispense with the report tonight because we have quite a bit of business to attend to, and the meeting will pretty much speak for itself. So I'll just go right to public comment on agenda items only. Someone like to come to the mic?
Well, first we'll open it at 7:02.
Does anyone have anything they'd like to? Mr. Cragen?
Would it be appropriate to comment on the bills list?
Yes, that's an agenda item. Yes. State your name, please.
My name is Robert Cragen, 7th School Lane. It's hard to sort of get a handle on the fiscal responsibilities that come with administrating municipality. I think a good place to start would be to take the largest bills that are repeating every month. On the bills list today, we have something from Univar. Total bill, about $3,500. And then there's another one from Passaic Valley Sewage. Let's just take those two items. And I would suggest that we do this every meeting. Take the, go down a rank list from the highest bills going towards the lowest. But let's take those two, for example. And the question I would ask the council would be, do we know if these are contract items? And if there is a contract for these items, when does that contract expire? And then the next question would be, if there was a contract, was that contract achieved by open bidding, or was it achieved through other means?
Mr. Cragen, you are welcome to either go to the Borough Hall this week, tomorrow, whenever, or call Anna DeBevic, and she will provide you an explanation for all of your questions.
Okay. I'm asking a different question. I'm asking, does anybody on the council, I guess it would be actually probably a question for Joe, since these, I think, are water sewer issues. Does anybody on the council have any knowledge of whether or not these items are contract items? Or
Ms. DeBevic is the person who can best answer the questions. So I'd like you to refer them to her.
I will. But this isn't a question for me. This is a question for you. So my question is, can you, as council members, take on the task of looking at whether or not Roosevelt Borough is being responsible with its expenditures by either making sure that we have legitimate contracts for the high item services and goods that we purchase, and or make sure that those items are achieved by open bidding? I think that there's a $19,000 a year floor requiring open bidding for items. Is that correct?
17.5.
Sorry. So it's lower than 19. So the point is that if you take those repeating items that come up every month, you add them up, I think we've got two or three items that do come up over the 17.5 that is a legal requirement then to make sure there's open bidding on those items. So I'm asking each of you as council members to take on the responsibility to go to Anna DeBevic and research this, and then each, and then report back to the council. I don't know how you'll do that through, with you, Ms. Malkin, to figure out.
Can I jump in for one
second? No, actually, Joe, we need to keep this.
And then next council meeting, take the lower, next lowest two, and then and the next lowest two, and next lowest two, and try to get a handle on these things as to whether or not they're being appropriately spent, the monies are being appropriately spent. So
thank you. Anyone else like to comment on the agenda? Okay, there being none, we close the public comment on the agenda items at
7:06.
All right, we come to approval of minutes. First one are the minutes of December 7th, 2016, special meeting minutes. Do I have a motion to... And again, this is one of those sets of minutes from a year and a half ago that were had been missing. And so our borough clerk and deputy borough clerk have they've taken on a huge task of getting all these minutes up to date. And so by approving this, you're not attesting to the fact that you were present at the meeting or that you agree. You're just voting to agree that these are the minutes from that date. Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second?
I'll second.
I did have a question about it, though, because on page 3 or 4 at the bottom it said the audio recording stopped at that point, and no further information was on file, and then it says the audio tape is available in the clerk's office. Do we need a little tag-on explanation that only the portion that we have?
It was just right at the end that it stopped, so I didn't have who adjourned the meeting.
Okay.
So that's it. So Greg,
how
is
much
that
of it,
okay?
Please put the available audio tapes available in the clerk's office. That'd be acceptable.
Okay.
Right? So I think your point is it's not the whole recording. It's confusing to the...
Right.
So you just put the available tape recordings available at the clerk's office. That would condition it on what's available, obviously.
Okay.
Sorry, with you, Councilman? Good?
Yes.
Okay.
That's good.
Any other discussion? Okay, roll call.
So just so Mr. Hamilton and Mr. Parker, you're agreeing to that amendment.
As
you made a motion.
Amended, yes.
As amended.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Abstain.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, next we come to the regular minutes of April 23rd, 2018. Do I have a motion?
I'll move those minutes.
Thank you.
Second? Adopt them.
I'll second.
Discussion?
We had a vacancy, is that correct? At that time? I only see 5 council seats. 5 council.
April 23rd, we did have a vacancy.
Okay.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah.
That's why roll call was not. Yeah.
Got it.
But going through, then it had everyone else.
Okay.
Because Mr. Bowen was. If you look down, you'll see the appointments was made right after the roll call on the first page.
Okay, got it. Yep.
Any other discussion? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, and finally, we have the minutes of April 23rd, 2018, closed session. I have a motion.
I'll move those minutes to be adopted.
Second?
I'll second that.
Discussion?
That's a separate set of minutes. It looks like it's like part of one.
No, it's just one page.
That was a special meeting?
That was the closed session.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, closed session.
You see, it's just one page?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yep. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Parker? Oh, my God.
Sorry. Gotta get a haircut.
Mr. Parker, your mom's not here, right? Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay.
Okay, we come to correspondence. We have a letter dated April 30th, 2018 from Roberts Engineering Group regarding required water plant and water tower improvements. And I believe that's in our packet, right?
Yes.
Everyone's packet, so everyone feel free to read that.
Okay,
at this point, I'd like to ask for someone to... Did you have something else you wanted to say?
Yeah, I was just going to ask. We have a closed session that I think is really important, and because sometimes meetings take a while and the closed session is important, I'd like to ask that we change the order of business and move the closed session up as early as we can and still accommodate the public if possible.
Yeah, that's what I was ready to ask, if someone would move to go out of the regular order.
Well, I'll make that motion to change the order of business to move the executive session up. But where would you want to put it?
Now.
Okay.
At the present moment.
So move it before ordinance.
Right.
Okay.
Do I have a second on Mike's motion to go into executive session now rather than at the end of the meeting?
No, we're not voting to go into executive session, just voting to rearrange the order of business. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. And then we'll need a motion to go in if
right.
that
right.
the formal motion passes.
I'll second that.
Do we do
roll call?
Roll call.
Discussion?
Right.
Why? Because we'd have the public wait then to hear the rest of the public session.
Because sometimes the meetings go on so long, and by the time we go into executive session, we're all tired and hungry and not at our best.
The last time it started around 10, I think, and ended at 11. And that's why I'm still trying to accommodate the public, but not have it, you know, start at 10 o'clock when we're all burned out and tired out.
If I might add as well, we expect to take action after this one.
So what action?
We're going to vote on water treatment contracts and wastewater treatment contracts.
It's not on the agenda. I don't see how we could do that.
We haven't discussed them and got them in today. The agenda is published to the extent known in 24 hours in advance of the council meeting. That being said, it's a catch-22, Councilman Hamilton, to your point.
Yeah.
So we could wait till the end and then do something when the public's not here, which is one way, or we could do it now and do it while the public's here, although it would be a little inconvenient.
I think it's inconvenient for the public, and I also think the public should hear my report, which I suspect that's the reason, the real reason why this you want to delay, have it brought up first.
That's absolutely, I didn't even know you had a report about that. It's strictly a time constraint.
That the public should be accommodated.
That's not the reason that I wanted to do it. I get tired and at 10 o'clock, my brain's not functioning full capacity at 10 p.m. to start a very important executive session. Now, I'm willing to move it anywhere in the agenda or to have it so that we can move quickly and do that work. And if you want to, I mean,
well, it's a kind of a
long
agenda.
I don't know anything about your report.
It's in your
why don't we just take a vote now, and this way we can eliminate some of this discussion.
Well, I'd like to hear from the public on this before the vote. Because this is a great public interest, a contract for water sewer. It affects their rates, and no one in the public has seen this contract. And I think that's just contrary to bad public policy to do that. We would be foisting a contract on the public without giving them any opportunity to see it.
Is that a motion?
That's why I oppose moving it up. And I would like, I will make a motion then, that we hear from the public about moving up the closed session.
I don't have any objection to that as long as we can do it earlier in the agenda, like I said. So there.
Well, where would you like it? I mean, there's quite a few resolutions and ordinances, and then there's all the committee chairs. We're going to be looking again at
We could hold a special meeting on that if it's too late for council members to think.
Let's just take a vote. Do I have a second for Maureen's motion of asking the public how they feel about it?
About moving this up, and so that they would be excluded.
I just have a point of order to ask of the chair. What motion is on the floor at this time?
Right now, there's a motion by Councilwoman Parrott to ask the public how they feel about moving the executive session to much earlier in the...
There was a prior motion
there
that
was
I made
a motion, yeah. So
to move into executive session earlier on in the agenda.
And to move closed session to up.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Well, then I would move
And
up.
I had a first and a second.
Then I would make an amendment to that after we hear from the public.
Okay. That's a fair way to do it. So we have a motion and a proposed amendment.
And do we need a second for the
amendment?
Right. So do I have a second for the amendment?
Seeing none, you take the original vote.
Okay. Seeing none, we will go back to the original vote, which is to move the executive session to now. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
No.
Ms. Sheehan?
No.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes.
Motion passes.
Now.
Motion to enter executive session.
Now I need a motion to enter into executive session. Do I have a motion?
Well, I have to read the resolution.
Yes, you got to read the resolution.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so first I need a motion to go into exec.
Move to go into executive session. Do I have a motion? Do I have a motion to go into executive session?
I move we go into executive session.
Second?
I'll second it.
Okay.
So now we need a roll call to go into executive session.
No,
now.
Got to read the resolution so the public knows what we're talking about.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Clerk.
Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act, enacted October 21st, 1975, permits a public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed which are exempt from the requirements of the Act. And whereas the said Act requires that prior to the holding of a meeting or portion thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss a subject which is exempt under the said Act. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Borough Council as follows, that the next portion of this meeting to be held in private session, that the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matters, contractual, utilities, operators, personnel. That no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated that discussion conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required to this matter. Roll call. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
No.
Ms. Sheehan?
No.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Public needs to leave.
Okay, we will
can you
be
give an anticipated light to the closed session.
About 45 minutes, and we will be taking action afterwards.
45 minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
Give or take.
8 o'clock.
Yeah, assume 5 after 8.
I wouldn't think of it.
Right? No, we're literally not.
She did.
Without you. No.
Okay, I am going to pause the recording.
Okay.
And Mr. Cragen has to leave. We'll be
in
the
Will someone keep an eye out for Mr. Lyons? He'll be joining us.
Okay.
Huh? That's the other reason we're really doing this, is so the guy doesn't have to sit around for 3 hours to what's sure to be able to
Yep, we're in exactly 7:21. Okay. We got
We are recording.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, what time is it?
It's
8:23. It's 8:23 p.m. Do I have a motion to go back into public session?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry. Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Aye.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, so we're back in the public portion.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, we come to ordinances. First reading, ordinance 18-0.
I'd like to make a motion to change the order of business to have...
Again?
Yes, again.
I second.
To have a Roosevelt residence.
I second that motion.
Aye.
Sure.
Change order for what?
To have a Roosevelt.
Have a Roosevelt student speak. Come to
before
the...
Before bedtime.
Yes.
Go.
Okay.
Just tell us your name and address, please.
I'm Morgan O'Donnell and 49 Lake Drive.
Hi, yes. Morgan. I'm sorry, Morgan. I didn't get your last name.
O'Donnell. 54
Lake.
54
Lake?
49.
49.
Okay.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm Morgan O'Donnell. I'm going to be talking to you about my D1 Thing project. I would like to raise money for the Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation. The Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation was founded by Alexandra Scott's parents. Shortly before her first birthday, she was diagnosed with neuroblastoma. This is a type of childhood cancer. At the age of 4, she decided to host a lemonade stand and raise money for kids like her. She died at the age of 8, but raised over $1 million before then. I would like to host a walkathon and sell lemonade for $1 there. To enter the walkathon, it'll be $5, and it will begin and end at the school, starting at 10 a.m. and ending at 1 p.m. My inspiration for my project is my cousin. When he was 2.5, he was diagnosed with ALL, acute lymphoblastic leukemia. This affects the white blood cells, which help fight infection. This is one of the most common types of childhood cancer. He stayed in the hospital for 3 weeks, but wasn't declared cancer-free until the age of 7.5. I would like to raise around $400, which will provide a day's worth of research, and I would like to spread awareness about childhood cancer. I'm asking permission to host my walkathon on Saturday, June 2nd. Any questions?
Thank you. So we're going to do that
Where's the walkathon when you say it begins at the school and just around the school or on the streets?
It'll go down, similar to Anna Murray's walkathon for breast cancer, it'll go down to the sewer plant and back to the school.
Okay. To Mike's house.
How do you collect money for it? Do people have to pay to walk? Every person gives a certain
sponsor?
Donation? Or?
Yeah, so it'll be $5 to walk, and then I'm also going to sell lemonade for $1 there.
Okay.
Morgan, what time would it start?
10 a.m.
Mm-hmm. And do you know what time it would end?
Around 1 p.m.
Depends how fast or slow you walk.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And also, if people want to volunteer money to you and they don't walk, or buy lemonade, is there a means of doing that?
Yeah. Okay. I will accept donations.
Okay, you'll put something on a bulletin board or publicize it somehow so people will know?
Yes.
Excellent.
And is there an official registered name for this event?
On the Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation, it's called Roosevelt's Walk for Cancer.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a Facebook page, like an event?
Okay, well, on the Alex's Lemonade Stand website, if you search the event, it'll be there. You can donate on that.
Can you get a flyer that you can send to me so I can get it posted on the website?
So the organization is sending me a kit, and a flyer will be in there. So I'll send it to you once I get it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You should be proud of yourself. Your
yeah,
parents should be proud of you.
Yeah, that's an excellent presentation.
Thank you. Thank you
very much.
Getting involved. Yeah, seriously.
Thank you.
Any way we can help, just let us
know.
So do we need a motion to approve this?
I don't know.
Well,
we can make a motion and just do all in favor that you agree.
If we need to change things around a little bit, we can. I just want to make sure. I was concerned about safety and blocking streets off between 10 to 1.
Yeah.
that kind of thing. Make sure there's no deliveries going to the sewer treatment plant.
Well, maybe the Community Development Committee could contact the state police.
We can give a tentative approval on it just to make sure that there's nothing.
Yep. We could ask the police to come and
I think that
watch over Rochdale.
And when would this be?
June 2nd.
2nd of June.
7th.
Second.
Second.
Saturday?
Two.
Yes.
June 2nd.
Yeah. Okay. No, we found it.
Okay. I'm going to send you guys all the link to. This is Roosevelt's Walk for Cancer in honor of Gary Bozowski?
Yes.
Perfect. All right, I'll send the whole governing body the link.
Good. Cool.
Me too.
And the clerk. You know whatever you got out of there.
Of course, Kathleen. Right. Okay.
Good job. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, do you guys want to do a motion?
We'll do a motion and it all in favor.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the Roosevelt's Walk for Cancer on Saturday, June 2nd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. As a fundraiser.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Unanimous. Do we have to move to go back into regular schedule?
I make a motion to resume the regular order of business.
Second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. We come to ordinances. First reading is first reading is ordinance 18-02. An ordinance setting the salary range and compensation of certain officials, positions, and employees in the Borough of Roosevelt, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, and the changes are in the bold font. Do I have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second?
Second.
I'll second it.
No, I think Ms. Sheehan seconded.
Too late.
And this is just first reading, right?
Yeah. So.
Correct.
Okay. Discussion?
We're only doing it for to change one of the items, which is a summer camp supervisor.
Okay. Well, actually, it's assistant counselor, which was not...
Was not in the original ordinance.
Right,
okay.
No.
All right.
So it's these items that are in bold and...
That's what being changed.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
There were six items, now there's three.
There were some positions, band leader, which doesn't exist, lifeguard, which we haven't had the camp at the pool for many, many years. So we took out the ones that,
program coordinator.
Yeah, so.
Why don't you have the camp at the pool?
I wish we did. It was up to me, we would.
Pool.
No, there was a pool where Ken LeCompte lives. That was a that was a swimming pool.
Okay.
And so the camp used to be held there at the pool, on the pool grounds. So.
I used to go to that.
Okay. It was great, wasn't it?
Who's in charge of the pool, the Hilltop pool?
Oh, that's a private pool. Well, so was Pine Valley. So it was private, the one where the camp was held. But the camp contracted out to the pool members to hold the camp there.
Okay.
But they don't have that same agreement with Hilltop, so I don't believe. So there's no lifeguard necessary.
I gotcha. Okay.
So can we have a roll call?
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
The second reading and public hearing will be held on June 11th, 2018, at 7 o'clock, the Roosevelt Borough Hall, 33 North Rochdale, Roosevelt, New Jersey.
It says here that will be held in the Millstone Township meeting room.
Joe, I gave you a new packet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like what?
I keep doing that. Right?
He's got his new packet, but he doesn't look at it.
I know. I look it over here and say...
Yes, I have to say, after a year and a half, I did make that mistake.
Okay.
No, it will be here at our council meeting.
Okay.
Resolution 18-71, payment of bills for May 14th, 2018. Someone like to move that?
I'll make a motion to pay the bills.
I'll second.
Discussion?
roll call. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, Resolution 18-72, Governing Body Certification of Compliance with the United States Equal Employment Opportunity Commission's Enforcement Guidance on the Consideration of Arrest and Conviction Records in Employment Decisions under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. In summary, what every council member has to read and sign this, and it's basically explaining... It covers employment concerning people who have arrest convictions and what's the other word? Records. Right. So what's permissible and what's not permissible as far in hiring for the government people with arrests and convictions. So I'm hoping that everyone read this when it was sent to them.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So, do I have a? Would someone like to move this?
I'll move 1872.
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton.
I'll sir? Second.
Mr. Parker.
Second. Mr. Parker's first.
Okay.
Okay. Whatever. Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen.
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton.
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, 1872 passes. We're going to come to 1873, authorizing a refund of fees paid for main sewer cleaning at 4 Homestead Lane. Mm-hmm. Someone like to move that?
I'll move that.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Resolution 1874, appointing Monmouth County JIF representatives. And our two JIF representatives are Greg Poziel, and his alternate is...
Me.
I know. Kathleen Hart, our borough clerk.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
I did want to add for the public record that for Greg Poziel has been going to some of those meetings already prior to being approved officially as our representative. And he's very active.
As a safety representative.
As a safety rep, and he does a good job with all the safety issues and enjoys it. So it's a good fit.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
1874 passes. I come to reports of committee chairs. I'd like to stress, please keep your reports just a summary. Keep them as short as possible. What we'll be doing in the future is including a written report from each committee chair in your packet. So this way you can read, you know, all the details, read everything in the packet. And then if you have any questions or concerns, you can either contact the committee chair or someone from that committee or Anna. But as for meeting purposes, we're going to try to keep the committee reports brief. Just a summary. So, administration, Councilwoman Parrott.
I did a written report, which is included, and in order to expedite, I'm not going to read it. It was with respect to just memorializing what the three members of the administration / finance committee did regarding the negotiation of contract with a potential provider for the water plant services, and that we met three times. And the only thing I'd like to add myself is that and that was what we had discussed. One of the matters just was just discussed. In in my own personal view, the terms of any proposed contract regarding the water or the wastewater are of great public interest and should be discussed before the public who pay for water service, so they will have an opportunity, and that the public should be able to see those contracts so that they will have an opportunity to express their views before this body, and that be done, that they have the opportunity before it is too late to make any revisions. That's the end of my report.
Thank you. Community Development Code Enforcement, Council Member Parker.
I got nothing as of now. We're kind of tidying things up with Public Works. Then I'll get on to a community development scheduled meeting at some point. I have interest in a kind of a community gathering sometime over the summer, a community event of sorts, like a whole day event with like live music. So that's all in the works in my head right now, and then it's all gonna come to fruition as it goes along.
Thanks. Environmental Health and Safety, Council Member Sheehan.
We met, the Environmental Health and Safety Committee met earlier this afternoon at 5. We met with our attorney, Greg Cannon, to basically discuss and explain to us the land swap deal that has been going on for a few years. We'll be gathering facts and information on that and giving a report to the council and all of you in a few weeks.
Thank you. And finance, Council Member Hamilton.
The finance committee is essentially the same as the administration committee, and we've been busy with contracts, reviewing operations, trying to make sure that that we have everything that we need there, and that's an important part of finance because we needed to come up with some numbers so that we could put it in the budget during budget prep. I did contact the CFO to find out his availability for meetings. He put out a possible meeting date of next Wednesday, 5 o'clock, and I did email or text the committee members asking if they could come, and it looks like that is a possibility, that meeting. We should have reports, some preliminary reports, budget worksheets that we usually work from, available prior to that meeting so that we can take a look at it and get an idea where we are with the budget. But I also want to defer on that to Mayor Malkin, because I know that she has also met with and had some extensive discussions with the CFO on finance and on the preparations for the municipal budget.
Yeah, I was going to say that when you were done.
Okay. Report.
Okay, well, I did meet with our CFO to begin preliminary discussions about the budget and just toss around different things that we, that are going to be needed in there for the present, for the future. Just give him give the information he needs so that he can begin to do the budget. Okay, Public Works, Council Member Bowen.
Yes. I'm just trying to get up to speed with all that's going on here. And Public Works, apparently, that's where most of the complaints drift my way.
You drew the short straw.
Just a few things that I've learned over the last few weeks. Greg Defoe, very busy guy. He was out cleaning the gutters and the storm drains throughout the borough. There was a vacuum cleaner that needed to be purchased for actually this room, I believe. The curbside branch pickup that went over what they normally do. Apparently, it's been usually a day or two, but he was pretty overwhelmed with the amount of branches and stuff that were out. So it developed into 3-day, 22 hours. So the cost is higher than normal. And then some emergency work was done in terms of some branches that were down from the storm, and some chainsaw, pruner, brush cutter, and trimmer were purchased for $1,400. And I think a lock was also purchased for where some of this stuff is being stored. I'm not even clear where this stuff is. The chainsaw, I think you're holding on to, right? No. I'm not really sure where they're being stored, but I know there was a lock that was purchased recently, so I'm hoping that.
I think Greg Defoe probably is storing it.
Yeah, he had it in his garage, which is lockable, because until we got it secured, we don't want to leave the equipment in there.
Right.
But that's what we're working on now, is getting it secured so we can store it there.
And then there's another issue I just became aware of over by Joe's house, a couple of sinkholes.
Yeah, widowmakers and sinkholes.
So, you know, now I need to get in contact with Ken Lewis from Hightstown Public Works.
That's right.
And learn about how that's going to be resolved.
Yeah. Those areas weren't filled when the initial repairs were done, and they need to be filled, and I think Ken is probably up to the job for that. Yeah. Carmella Roberts did review it. This was some time ago.
Yeah.
I think I forwarded those reviews to you guys.
Okay. Also in front of Jill's house, there's apparently a where the coal patch was done.
Yeah.
That's starting to go down now.
Yeah, so we're going to do a bunch of coal patching. And
oh, that's right. There's also an issue about a pothole in front of the school.
Right.
At the end of School Lane, right where it meets the sidewalk. Greg Defoe, one of the problems was a gas cap that was sunk down. And then there was a small pothole that he didn't think that a cold patch was going to do the trick, but the maintenance from the school was going to try that for now. That's it for me.
So the tree was also taken care of at the school. It was right on the border of borough property and school property. Contacted Mary, who's the principal at the school. And we agreed to split the costs between the borough and the school, so $400 each. I believe it was in everybody's interest, and branches were falling down like crazy, so I finally got to take care of that. One thing to note on the fact that it took about 3 days for Allen Tree Service, he has a grabber that's about 24 inches. Most public works, their grabber is about 12 inches, so his is like about double the size of normal grabbers.
Yeah.
I saw him when he did it outside my house. It was awesome. He's got a grabber on a little thing, just like they go up to it, pick it up. He's got a two-man crew right behind him, and they rake it up right behind him. So we actually had borough people come into the borough hall and kind of mention that how good of a service he did. So it's really, we need a personal service like that. So it was high cost, but better job than we would have gotten, and I think cheaper in overall.
Alan's very fair to us.
Yeah, he is. What else was there? Oh, DPW now cleans Borough Hall weekly, obviously. That's why we got the vacuum cleaner. And I want to just mention real quick, deer ticks are coming out. It's very, 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 very serious. Lyme disease is rampant within Roosevelt. Right now I got my pants tucked into my socks. And it's very serious. Everyone around me got Lyme disease, so I like to put, there's a notice on the board, but I want to put that up as far as like community development. And at the same time, I got the first class done for the planning board. So I got that out of the way, and the next one's open up in October, so I'll be able to be certified. You have 18 months to get the class certification to be on the planning board, so I got one of the classes out of the way.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Was it interesting?
It was really interesting, yeah. I learned a lot about zoning and all that.
Was it down the Fire Academy? Or?
Essex County is an hour drive.
Mm. Oh, Essex?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty lunch, though, I want to say.
And we come to utilities.
Utilities. We've been working on contracts for a the water and the sewers, and hopefully that will go well. I think everybody is in the ballpark about the contracts. And beyond contracting out for the water plant tower and the sewer system, I think the next thing we have to look at is the infrastructure in town and try to figure out how to deal with that, probably more a long-term basis than hiring just one company for water and one company for sewer, which seems like it's might work out pretty well. But we have to look at the infrastructure, and that's going to be, I think, more of a long-term project. How we approach that is, questionable right now. I would almost like to have one company come and do X amount of pipage per year. I don't know how practical that is, but...
X amount of what, Jim?
Pipage.
Oh, pipage.
Yeah, because we have bad water pipes and we have bad sewer pipes. And, so we'll be looking into that, but hopefully the water and sewer contracts will go through and everybody will be happy there. So, okay, that's it for me.
Okay. Reports of borough officials, but we have none tonight. So does anyone have any old business at the table?
Report of a borough official.
I'm sorry, Mike. I didn't realize.
Planning?
Would you like to come to me? Oops.
Want to report as historian that we had a very successful participation in the weekend in Old Monmouth program. We had a total of 32 people came
really?
Around.
Wow.
Yeah, 20 people on Saturday and 12 people on Sunday. So we had an opportunity. Alan Malik was there for a couple of hours. I was there for the rest of the time. And, we were able to tell people about Roosevelt and about the mural and everything else. So I think everybody said they enjoyed it.
Mike, next year, can you let us know as soon as possible when that is? Because I would like to coordinate it. This year, it fell on Big Trash Weekend. So I don't think the town looked as pretty as it should.
It's always the first weekend in May.
Okay. So we should try for Big Trash
it's weekend always
before
the, first weekend.
Or the weekend.
The thing that I'd like to see coordinated is the RAP always has a concert. And one year they did coordinate, we were able to get it into the county publicity that they're having it, but then they didn't do it again. So if they could coordinate it would be very nice that we could get the county
like
would publicize it.
Yeah, I definitely want to coordinate it, though, with not having it on the
same
weekend.
You're right. It's always the first weekend in May. In fact, if the Sunday comes in May, it's that Sunday, so it comes out to be, it's April 30th, May 1st. It's still that weekend.
Right.
RAP
okay,
has
great.
An organizational meeting this Sunday coming up, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to be around, but if somebody wants
yeah,
to...
I've told that. I've said to him. So in fact, Alan was, I say he was in there for a couple of hours while I took a break on Saturday.
Good.
Okay.
Did people drive here in their own cars? Is that?
Oh yes. Yeah. It's a self. Mm-hmm. What it is it's a self-guiding tour that the county sets up. There are four routes that they. There's a brochure that they stick out. That it's online and brochure and it gives you places to see on each of the four routes. And we're on the Western Monmouth route. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Any old business? Okay. New business. First order of new business is we received correspondence from T-Mobile, and they're interested in putting an antenna on our water tower. So I actually turned this over to Carmela because they needed the specifications of the height and what was the other thing?
Height of the water,
water tank. And they had some technical questions. So I forwarded this to Carmela Roberts and talked to her about it. So she will give them the information that they need, and then based on her information, they'll let us know whether they're interested. They're interested in putting the antenna, and then at that point, the council will vote. We have income from AT&T and Verizon for their antenna on the water tower, and it goes right into the water sewer budget, and it's quite helpful.
And T-Mobile is negotiating or looking to merge with Sprint.
Yeah.
And they want to be a player.
Right.
And they want to have good service, right, obviously, in this area.
So hopefully it will work out where our specifications meet their needs and we'll be able to, we'll be able to bring in some additional income.
Mm-hmm. And people who have T-Mobile will get better reception
service.
Yes. Yeah, I've heard that Sprint is terrible in Roosevelt.
T-Mobile was too.
And the second order of business is use of the Borough Hall by Janice Attia on June 9th, 2018, beginning at 7 in the morning and ending somewhere between 6 and 11 at night as a ride for a family gathering.
Well, they want to do set up in the morning.
Right.
And then the party's in the afternoon, so there'll
right.
be a gap.
Oh, 6 to, okay,
yeah.
6 to 11 is the party.
Right.
Okay. So we need council approval for that.
Make a motion to approve it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay, that passes.
Okay.
And someone else that we're not going to do the vote?
Yeah, we'll just approve it next time if that's...
Okay. Well, we were going to vote on John Holden's contract as water sewer operator tonight, but I think at this point we will wait until the next meeting, and so it gives everyone a chance to read it thoroughly, and we'll vote on. Our next meeting is May 29th, which is a Tuesday, not Monday, because Monday is Memorial Day that month. The 28th is Memorial Day. Okay, so we come to public comment on any item. Anyone like to come to the microphone?
Well, we're going to open up public meeting at
8:53.
Okay.
My name is Jill Lapote. I live at 17 Pine Drive. I wanted to invite all of you to a party tomorrow evening right here at Borough Hall. Toby Moore is retiring after 20 years. For anyone who has ever drunk the water or flushed the toilet in Roosevelt, you have Toby to thank, and it would be really nice if you would come to the party tomorrow evening. It's from 5 to 9. We're bringing dinner food. I was hoping that I'd get out of here early so I could make the baked ziti. But you're all invited, and it would have been nice if you had a proclamation or something to present to Toby, but I think just your presence would be terrific. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe we can do a proclamation next meeting. Listen.
Yeah, he hasn't officially
retired yet.
It's not till the 30th.
We were waiting for that to, you know, issue a proclamation. It's closer to his actual date.
Okay. Anyone else like to come to the microphone? Mr. Cragen?
I'd like to...
Bob, can you identify yourself first?
Okay.
And
Bob Cragen, 7 School A.
Distributing while you're doing it, just to save us time.
This is a letter that I wrote to Mr. Marini, our acting zoning officer, on February 13th, requesting a written determination about trailers on my property. I've still yet to receive anything in writing from Mr. Marini. So I am requesting.
Come to the microphone, and you can distribute those afterwards.
So I think I'd turn this over to our attorney right now. Could you comment, please, Greg, if you don't mind, as to where in the zoning ordinances it says you can't have storage trailers, which are covered trailers, the same as what I guess you'd call them lawn companies, you know, lawn crews use to store
them.
Well,
I don't think it would be appropriate for me to give an opinion on that. It's a zoning officer's determination in the first instance, and then you would have the right. I haven't read your ordinance, but I imagine you have the right to appeal to the zoning board. And then I believe you'd have the right to appeal here if you have the ordinary ordinance that everyone else has. So it wouldn't be appropriate for this body to comment on whether you're allowed to have your trailers or not, insofar as they may ultimately be the appellate ballot. Here's your appeal from the zoning determination. I understood your principal issue to be that he didn't ever give you a written determination, so you could take an appeal one way or another.
Right, and well, what I was asking for specifically from him and also from you, sir, would be a reference to the zoning ordinances where it says thou shalt not have trailers in your driveways.
Well, I mean, the reason it starts with the zoning office is very simple. It's because I come here two
right.
times a week. Most,
right.
I have no idea where you live, to be quite honest with you.
Right.
So I've never seen your property. So the zoning officer is here. He does the inspection, and then the record's created, and it goes up through the process. So, I mean, to be honest with you, it says this is the secret written determination on February 13th, 2018. So my assumption was that you needed a written determination so that you could take one action one way or another. So we'll reach out to Mr. Marini to make sure that happens, but we can't comment on that because ultimately you may end up here on an appeal from the zoning board, for all I
okay.
know. So we couldn't comment on that, on whether you're allowed to have them or not. We couldn't comment on that. And frankly, I don't know off the top of my head.
Right.
But we can get Mr. Marini to give you a written determination
right.
so you can do what you have to do.
I had told Mr. Cregan earlier today that I would have
yeah.
Mr. Marini's in tomorrow and that I would have him
I'll try to
for you.
Yeah, I mean, your request isn't extraordinary. That you need a written determination
it's
to take
thing.
The next action.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
right.
I mean, we can help you with that, but I can't. I did look at it this afternoon after I saw you, and
sure.
I realized that we just can't comment on it because we might end up hearing it.
What
I had told you this afternoon that I would talk to him tomorrow.
Him. And so
I'd actually prefer you don't lay all the facts in front of everybody in case they, so they have a fresh record, but, you know, obviously you'll have to do what you want.
Understood. Would the appropriate person from the council, perhaps either yourself, Peggy, or someone you appoint, possibly meet with Mr. Marini and myself to explain where in the zoning ordinances it says you can't have trailers. That
As
would be
I
really helpful.
As I told you before, yeah. Mr. Cregan, I actually have met with Mr. Marini.
Right.
He showed me the statute, so I will make sure that he puts it in writing for you.
Okay. And the only thing I would mention is that I've searched the records very, very, very thoroughly, including searching them with two previous zoning officers, and no one has ever been able to find any reference that says it's against the law to put storage trailers in your driveway.
I don't know
what he showed you, but I'm curious to see. We'll report back next time. But I'm hoping to shorten the loop by having someone from the council be there with
I have actually spoken to him. I met with him about 3 weeks ago,
okay.
4 weeks ago.
Are you available tomorrow to attend the meeting at 5 or whatever?
I'm not sure, but I will absolutely speak
could.
To him and tell him that you need it in writing.
Is anyone else from the council available at 5 to represent the council to be able to report? Who's in charge? What committee would be in charge of that?
It's
code enforcement.
It's
and zoning.
Separate from us.
Yeah.
That's my point to you.
Yeah.
Really, no, you know,
code
Mayor did you a favor by reaching out, but beyond that, we really can't get deeply involved in this because this body may be the ultimate one that decides it, but that might be two or three steps from now.
Sure.
And then if there is an objector, your neighbor's going to be screaming that we considered it right here, and then we're going
to
have a problem
I'm
later.
To shorten the loop, that's all.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this isn't one you can shorten the loop on because you got to go through the rungs of the ladder.
We will do it. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you. Anyone else? I can't see. Jeb, is that you? Blocked by the...
podium. Jeff Sean, 18 Tomorrow Drive. I am just concerned about that I don't see the transparency in the function of this council that I had looked forward to. I knew nothing about a committee meeting occurring at 5 o'clock today. A lot of the committees have not met, and when they have met, there hasn't been any public announcement of it. And I also understand that part of the committee meeting today was closed, and that isn't my understanding of what happens in committee meetings. I think the public should be welcome. And I definitely support Maureen Parrott's position about the contract that is almost ready to be adopted, and I think it's a very important contract and that the public should have a chance to study it and make remarks. And in general, I don't see why the public can't know about contracts. I feel it's in our best interest to to have various points of view about these things. And so that is, so I would hope that the committees would not only meet, but really make their meetings more advertised and known to the public. And the other thing, I realized that there are many things, many issues being tackled, and that it's all really difficult, and I appreciate everybody's work, but it was discussed at a previous meeting that it was really important to develop a protocol for how to for contracting private services, and that was referred to the administration committee, right? And so I'd like to hear follow-up about that as soon as possible. And again, I hope that that gets considered in an open committee meeting. And I personally worked very hard to bring about a council that operated in this manner, so I feel that I have a right to demand that this occur. Thank you.
Thank you.
I did want to just say one thing about the committees, that the three administration committee meetings that we had were, we were actually looking at the terms of contracts and that kind of thing, and so we didn't, and I'm actually speaking on behalf of the committee chair, I shouldn't be, but I just wanted to say that those particular meetings were based on contract negotiations, bargaining perspectives, you know, that kind of thing. So those weren't open, but I just wanted to agree with you that I think that if you can have a committee meeting open and it's in the best interest of the public, you should.
Well, I'd like to have it made clearer to the public what constitutes, like, can't contracts be discussed in terms of their general... for instance, if you're making a contract now for an engineer for the water system, how many years is that contract? Shouldn't the public know things like that?
And well, what's, so what's the maximum? Or?
So if we're not talking about... I really am not sure what things the public is not allowed to know. But
it's pretty easy. It's a real easy dividing line. Between the when you're negotiating with someone, you just saw the gentleman come in here. So he came in to literally negotiate terms, and the council here negotiated more favorable terms with him. Mm-hmm. If we tell everyone what we're thinking before he comes in here, then we're at a substantial disadvantage when we're negotiating with him. So that process on the wastewater trend and the water utility, these two contracts, has been ongoing with the water treatment operator for now since the beginning of April, so 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And with the gentleman tonight for the last two weeks. Mm-hmm. So the public will know what terms were agreed upon and what was negotiated when the contract is approved, and then it's required to be advertised in the newspaper, and the contract is available, operable, it's public inspecting document.
But shouldn't
the document that's open.
But shouldn't it be public knowledge what the contract is about? I mean, like,
yeah,
what the responsibilities of the job are, with the job description.
Yes, it's all spelled out in the contract that would be approved by resolution.
Yeah,
and we can't know that ahead
but
of time?
But how would you like to get that information?
Not unless you want to run for council. I mean, I don't know how you can't negotiate a contract if we tell the public everything we're thinking and then we bring the person in here and expect
I'm
to have it
I'm not talking about everything. Aren't there general...
Yes,
it's the local public contracts law. Yeah. It specifically sets out what needs to be in the contract, what length they can be for a certain period of time, and that statute's been in effect since 1982, I believe, or 1979. And it spells out everything that has to be in that contract, how it's awarded, how it's advertised, what has to be in there, how long it can be. So, for example, you could write a concession agreement to run a utility for 40 years, but my contract can never be longer than a year as the borough attorney. That's spelled specifically out in the law. Now, you could have a contract for 6 months or something lesser, but it can never be more than that amount of time. It's spelled out right in the statute.
I understand what your perspective on it, in that we might want in the future to have an open kind of session to talk with members of the public. People have had experience with contracts and had public service, and talk about provisions that they think ought to be in a contract in general.
And also,
but once we get to that point where we're actually discussing terms, which we had to move pretty quickly with these.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Yeah.
Well, what about the points that Maureen raised in her report? Like, for instance, that the contract specifies the amount of money, or there's a, or it's open-ended, that some services can, bills can be, some aspects of the service can be billed at hourly rates beyond the generally contracted rate. I mean,
that's accurate.
That
in fact, you can take this home with you because it's done. It's negotiated and finished, and we're going to vote it on the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it's divided into routine services. So the guy comes, he runs the water plant, he operates it for $5,000 a month.
If I can see that, can't
sure,
everybody see
go.
It? Can't
sure.
it just go on the? I don't want to.
Yeah.
Can't it just go on the website?
Sure.
Yeah, it'll be there before the next council meeting, but since you're very interested in seeing it well in advance to consider it, you can take it in advance if you like. It's right here.
Yeah, no, I'd rather look at it on the computer.
Sure.
I have enough paper.
Would you like me to email you a copy of it?
I don't want it personally coming to me. I want it to be available to the public.
Okay, it will be available to the public on the website prior to the next meeting.
Okay, that's fine. That's good to know.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that before. I don't feel really capable of presenting my concerns about this, because I only began to think about this a little while ago. But I think that there are concerns.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
I was in a union in New York, and we had contracts with people that provided work for us. And there was a contract committee, and the committee sit down and hammer things out like we did and get it as close as we could.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would meet, say, with the with our people that we were trying to get the contract with. And then we would present it to the public. We would have our feeling about it,
mm-hmm.
and then we'd present it, and then any feedback would come in. And
sure. Maybe I can put your mind at ease a little bit. I mean, notwithstanding the memo you received tonight regarding the 22 hours I spent negotiating the water treatment contract, the contract is for 1 year, and if you don't like it, you can cancel it on 90 days' notice
90 days.
And get out of the contract.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So
well,
maybe that'll help members of the public understand what we're really talking about here.
I think the public needs to know all that sort of thing.
Well, all those things were negotiated with the contract committee and, as it were, the financial and administration committee. And
basically, just to close the loop, I'd just like to get back to the idea that I wish the committees would be more regular in their meetings, let the public know about them, let us attend, and not keep us out of them.
Okay.
Mary?
Mary Tullis, 21 Lake Drive. Well, I would agree with everything that Jeb was saying, and also I can understand why you don't want to discuss details of a contract with the public, but already this whole process is at the stage of the Administration and Finance Committee. What about the step backward where we hear why it's a good idea to have somebody running the water plant and a different company running the sewage treatment plant? I keep looking for notices of the utility committee meeting, and I would have thought that would have been a prior step, and I haven't seen one since probably six months ago or something.
No, we haven't had one, and the whole utility thing has been about contracts at this point, about satisfying the DEP violations and trying to find new operators to cover the contracts to cover all those violations and things.
Why wouldn't there be a step that is discussion of where are we not meeting the DEP requirements? What are we going to do? What do other towns do? Do they have separate operators for the plants? And just that seems like a step
spent
that
the first four meetings of the year discussing that exact issue.
And we also put the DEP violations. The DEP violations are all on the website. They're in the water, sewer, utilities part of the website.
I agree with Mary. I don't think we've had the discussions in front of the public. I voted against going into closed session at the last meeting, which was the really, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, but I'm only one vote.
A lot of the meetings that we had were also investigations. There was the investigation for the DEP that came here and took us, toured us through the plants. And
if you check the minutes, we sat here and we laid out everything that's wrong with the both plants, and what we were going to do about it, what the remedial actions were, and we spent four meetings, I believe, sitting here, literally telling the public exactly what we were going to do, and this was the last step in the process, which is getting new operators to the plant in the wake of Mr. Moore's retirement.
And
okay, well, sorry, I must have missed that, and I do read every agenda that comes out. I just, I guess
the
I
minutes are more helpful when they come out.
Well, going forward from here, I'd love to have more public utility meetings because they'll take a load off my shoulders that, you know, everybody should know. So that's it.
Yeah, I think it would be good before you get negotiating a contract to say, well, here's, here are the situations we considered or the companies we considered or the other communities that we considered, and here they have a model. Look at, they are
operating
in a
similar way. We actually did do that, Mary, though we discussed it here.
Those discussions occurred, but they didn't occur in an organized way. And I think what Mary is suggesting is that there possibly be some public, like, forum prior to that so that the public could be more involved, so they could be informed initially about what we're looking to do.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Before it gets into the committee process. Because once it gets there,
if it's in the committee,
you know, we just
work
and...
Well, if it's in the committee, I thought committee is more discussion, and then that would be a place where the public could play.
Generally,
a role,
it would be,
you know?
but once you get the contracts, you know, you've got to be careful with that. So but that's a good suggestion.
I'm wondering also, for example, I see, again, Roberts Engineering is the group that is going to be doing quite a bit of work at the water treatment plant. I know I had brought up at previous council meetings looking into, like we had in the past, a engineering company that specializes in water and sewer treatment. And I don't know if that was ever done.
Well, the company that we have for sewer specializes in sewer treatment plants.
The operation, but I'm talking about really the design and the kind of things that you were talking about, where we have some, you know, issues that are systemic and are going to need to be investigated in a systematic way. And
the DEP came here and told us what the problems were. There were a lot of paperwork problems. It was one thing, but then there were physical plant problems. And those are the things that we attacked first. We wanted to make sure that they were fixed so that we would not get fined by the DEP. And they were kind of common sense things, but more about the plant's not going to operate properly if these things weren't addressed. One of them is Carmella states here, is taking the sludge out of the bottom of the settling tanks.
Right.
Which was done 4 years ago, and it should be done every year. So part of the problem there is brown water, because when all the iron settles to the bottom of the cup here, and then there's a big demand on water and water gets dumped in, it kind of unsettles the iron at the bottom, and it shows up in our faucets as brown water. So those are the things that we want to take care of. And those are the things that the DEP taught us that we need to fix, or they'll fine us. Similarly, in the sewer plant, both of those reports are on the website.
Right. Well, that seems like something that would have been known for years. I mean, you have to remove the sludge, and it has to be done every year. That should be like a check. Did we do it this year kind of thing?
Yeah.
So that seems kind of
I think it's been 5 years, actually.
Routine maintenance, we call that.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's and been 5 years.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years. I understand what you're saying, and we want to get past all of that to the point that maintenance is not an issue anymore.
Right.
And at that point, hopefully, everything will be okay and we'll have open meetings and people can. But it was really getting past investigations, getting past trying to figure out who's in charge of what and stuff like that. So, and then on to the contracts from there. So, and again, it's only for a year. You can find other people. If these guys don't work, we can dump them in 90 days. So, it behooves us to not get fined that we're moving ahead.
And I think can I just say the DEP has been
the driving force
with us
the driving
because they know
force.
What's been happening,
yeah.
And so they've been working with us to try to straighten everything out.
We had to give them a plan of action by January, February, March, April 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we did, and we've been working on getting all this right for them and for the town. I mean.
Oh, sure. So well,
yeah,
we definitely appreciate all the hard work that has gone into and continues.
But that's where we've been. We've been addressing the issues that the government has told us are issues that must be dealt with.
Immediately.
Let me ask a question of Mary. Mary, you've been on the school board and have attended a lot of school board meetings. How do they do preliminary discussions with the public before they negotiate contracts, like teachers' contracts and things like that? Do they open it up to the public and ask what the public would like in the teachers' contracts and or how they would what they would like on the board side so that the public could get involved in it? How was that done?
There's only certain things that are negotiated in the teachers' contracts,
like
the salary
salaries
and working conditions and things like that.
They're important issues.
But, yes. But the decision to hire people to do a job that is separated into two parts, it wasn't being handled that way before.
Yeah.
Why do we need it? What do other towns do? I mean, it's not like I don't see a real strong comparison to a contract.
Well, but the school has done things like that when they've changed administrators and changed the kinds of administration they had or contracted out. For shared services on administrators.
Yeah, recent.
How did they include that? I'm just interested in the process that you.
Oh, well, there's a lot more shared services since I have gone off of the school board. I'm not quite sure what all kind of things are being discussed there.
But if you have any practical suggestions on how to do it, that's what I'm looking for.
Oh.
You know, how to set it up so that before we dive into the committee process, we open it up to the public in a way that will be inclusive of everybody's opinions.
Well, I mean, if you see that you are considering doing something in a different way than has been done before and hiring outside consultants or companies or engineering firms, then I would say, I think maybe that's the kind of thing that we should let the public be in on and hear them what we're planning.
Well, they were
in
on it.
Yeah,
we did have a lot of meetings
quite a bit.
I'm just looking for some sort of mechanism where when we know that we're embarking on something new, we can possibly have an open forum on and get ideas before we do that.
I think that a lot of those discussions were in the closed sessions that we've had. We've had several closed sessions. And I my recollection, I could be wrong, because this council's chosen not to record those sessions.
Okay.
I know Ms. Parrott has her opinions on that this is an extremely closed council. I disagree totally. I've seen councils that were closed. This is not it. And we're trying to be as open as possible and still get everything done that we need to do without totally prohibiting movement forward on the issues that we need to move forward on. And I think that that's important. We need to get stuff done. We can't just talk about it. I think a lot of us, and I think people who know me, know that I am a firm believer in transparency, but there are limits to everything, and you can't move ahead sometimes unless you do the work that you need to do.
Also, Mary, I just would like to add that I think that currently, I believe that most towns do employ a separate water operator and sewer operator. I don't think that there are very many people left who do both. That was our understanding, that it's generally done by two different... I think Toby's an anomaly. You know, he's from a different time period where he was able to do both. But I think very frequently now, or the majority of time, majority of towns are two different operators, one for the sewer treatment plant, one for the water plant.
Well, it would be nice to kind of know for sure and to maybe have coordinated with that professional organization that consists of towns that operate their own water and sewer system, because
we spoke to Allentown. We looked into many towns, and we did discuss it. It didn't come out of a vacuum. It was discussed.
I don't know. Was that discussed in the public session where people heard about it, heard it discussed, or knew about it?
Yeah. We had many meetings. Do you listen to the... if you can't attend a meeting, do you listen on the website?
No, I don't. I try to attend meetings when I can, but I don't.
But if you can't, then I just want you to know that you can listen to...
Yeah.
There's no visual, but you can listen to the audio recording of the council meetings on the website.
I had one other thing I wanted to ask about. The letter from Roberts Engineering, it says the borough is being required to install post-disinfection system in the water plant. I just wondered, since Roberts Engineering designed the water plant, is this a new regulation that wasn't there when they did their original design?
This was Toby wanted to use chlorine gas, apparently, and so they left it at that. And when the DEP came and inspected, they said you can't use the same gas canisters for pre and post. You have to have a secondary system for post. So in that case, if they use one gas canister for pre and a second gas canister for post, then I believe there would be too many gas canisters there and chlorine gas, and that would up the ante for the regulation of how many gas canisters you can have in one site at the same time, I think.
That's the Catastrophe Prevention Act.
Yes, okay. Jill spoke of this last year at some point in time. And apparently we are one of the last water treatment plants that still uses gas chlorine instead of a liquid chlorine.
Mm-hmm.
And so the DEP said you have to change this.
Okay.
And if we changed it, we would have to have, if we use gas, we would have to have more gas than is proper for us to have, so that the answer would be to go to what most towns are doing now and having the liquid chlorine and pre and post, as opposed to the gas chlorine, because then we don't have such a catastrophe situation there. So that was the DEP. They cited us on that, and they said we must do something about it. And something was done about it, but the DEP disagreed with what was done and said you can't do it this way. And so that's part of it. So those three things that she listed there are taking the iron sludge out, which hasn't been done for a few years now, and that would enhance our water because it wouldn't be as brown as often. And we even noticed one day after the blackout that there was brown water. It was the iron in the water level was okay in the morning. It was elevated in the afternoon. In the evening, it was through the roof. So after everybody used their water to do their laundry or whatever after the blackout, then that put a load on and that bounced the sludge around. And the other thing is the strap at the water tower. Ken Lewis was nice enough to come, and they all looked at that and figured, oh, we could do this. And I trust them that they can do it for like $1,000. God bless them. So those are the three items she cited in there. All three of those items were cited by the DEP, which are on the letter on the website, that we have to address. Those are the so we're slowly nibbling away at all these things that the DEP wanted done. And
Well, hopefully there's, after we get through that, there's some time for kind of long-range planning, and then the Utilities Committee will meet, and the public will have an opportunity to
Absolutely.
Participate.
I look at this as like the funnel, and this is the skinny part of the funnel, and we're squeezing all of these things through. And then on the other side, fine. I'm like, I definitely want the other side of all of this. Believe me, this is like, you know. This has been hard to get to the point that the DEP will be satisfied on all these issues. Mm-hmm. And I think monetarily we'll do okay after these contracts at the same time. I don't want to make any promises, but I'm cautiously optimistic at this point.
Honestly, Mary, after the water problems we had last summer, we called the DEP and asked them to come in and work with us and let us know where we stand in every area and what needs to be, you know, investigated immediately, near future, you know, and just help us to get everything so that we have clean, safe drinking water and a clean, safe sewage system.
Yeah.
And so we've been working with the DEP since September, and most of, or a lot of the action that we take is predicated upon recommendations and directives from the DEP.
Directives. These aren't recommendations.
Yeah, directives.
They're saying, if you don't do this, $50,000 a day per incident.
Directives, which we called them in to for their help, and they've been more than fair with us.
When will we be in compliance, do you think?
Pretty soon.
Well, little by little.
Yeah, little by little.
Coming into
isn't
compliance.
Isn't there a deadline that we have to be in
there
compliance
is,
by?
There's more than one issue, so little by little we've
There's
been
deadlines to stay in contact, as long as you're making progress and doing stuff.
Oh, okay.
We sent them a plan of action. Toby also sent them a plan of action. Toby was required to send them a plan of action.
And they review it qualitatively. Yeah. So, like, if it's, like, fix a fence, and it took you 4 months to fix a fence, they're going to be upset. If it's replaced the water tower, and it's 4 months later, you know, you obviously there are two very different things. That's how they look at it. There is some human element to it.
And we do have to fix the fence around well number three also. So that money has been allocated. The three bids or three invoices or whatever have come in. So we have to have one of the companies go and do it. So, yeah, we're just one thing at a time. We're nibbling through this, and we're making it happen. And we will, I'd say before the end of the year, we'll be compliant with the DEP.
Yeah, we've done it. Every step of the way, we've complied with them, and we are working to ensure that we have the best possible water and sewer plans
we have communications with them on a constant basis. So, yeah. So.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who hasn't spoken? Bob?
Bob Clark, Lake Drive. Regarding the land swap at the horse farm, we heard about a meeting of the committee that was looking into it and came and was told it was a closed meeting. Now, I've been trying throughout various political processes to get those meetings to be held openly when possible. And it was a little disturbing to hear that this one was not being held openly. Because I've been telling people, don't worry, you know, this is now a new open administration where everything will be discussed openly and you'll have a chance to make your points known. It's been a long time that this land swap has been going on, and it seems to be completely bogged down. And I don't know that there's anybody outside of perhaps some people on the council that know why this is the case. And so every chance I get, I try to go to a meeting that would be a little enlightening about this. And I'm concerned that the enlightenment will come to me when I learn the final result and not anywhere along the way. I'm concerned that this process whereby things are being done openly is going by the wayside. You know, I'm telling people this is a new administration. They're going to have open processes, and you'll always be able to make your points known. And I'm beginning to wonder whether that's the case.
Well, I'd just like to say that, I'm going to paraphrase Mike, we do try to be as open and transparent as possible. In certain instances, legally we can't. I think in this case, there's a possible litigation in the future. We don't know. As you said, we know it's been going on for years and years and years, but it's just now by this council being looked at anew and studied and investigated. But we don't know if it's, you know, it is possible that there could be potential litigation. And so for that reason, it needed to be, I believe this is the first meeting.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be very clear what we're talking about. I came down here to meet with the committee, the environmental committee, to review the file and give them legal advice about what the status of the application was to Green Acres. And basically, it's the first time I picked up the box of documents in the back and brought it to the table with everybody. So I like you gentlemen. I have a lot of respect for you and your involvement in the community. But I can't have third parties sitting in the room while I'm giving legal advice to my clients. It just doesn't work. I think that you've seen this council, but once we've had that, right, we've come out here and we've read reports and we've told you everything that we know and that I've discovered or that the committee has discovered. And that process will be followed here as well. And I'm sure there'll be lots of public hearings on it. And I'm sorry I had to ask you guys to leave today, but there's no way I can do my job with third parties in the room. Otherwise, I don't have any. I can't speak frankly with my clients on what I think. So I'm sorry, but I promise you that, and perhaps Deirdre could jump in, or perhaps not, but we're going to do a report.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was, we really just came up with an outline, a plan of action. We were all given tasks to try and come up with information and back that up, you know, with solid evidence of, you know, the process. I mean, this has been, like you said, going on for a number of years, and there are a lot of questions to ask. And I think within a couple of weeks, we'll have a report, and nothing is going to be decided.
And nothing's being hidden. Well, it's just in the studying. The issue is that
maybe there's a about this committee process. The committees are designed because there aren't many employees here. So, for example, this governing body can only make decisions based on the information that's before them at the table, right? Most people have no idea what we did today here at the table or whatever. We haven't presented it to you yet, right? So in a bigger town, the administrator would do that, or department head would put all the information before the council. Here, you have no choice but to use the committees. And when the committee needs public input, like, so for example, say we're talking about extending a trail or doing a roadway or extending a sidewalk, and the committee wanted to get the public's input before bringing it to the council, they can absolutely do that. If they want to meet with their lawyer, like we've done twice in the most recently, contract negotiations and determining what the legal file means, essentially, then those sessions are going to be closed, you know, because by necessity, essentially. Or, if, you know, because there's an adverse party in the contract matter, and I'm giving legal advice in the latter. So I think the misunderstanding is that these committee meetings are the avenue by which the public gets their input. Really, they're just fact-finding. No decisions are made at those committee meetings. You saw what we did with the utilities committee. It's a great example, right? We went behind closed doors. We pulled out all the legal documents and all the notice of violations. We put them all together. We put them in a document, and then we sat here and read them to you guys about what we had figured out and knew. When we sat down today with that box of documents, we didn't even know if the thing was subdivided or not yet. That was one of our preliminary questions. Is it a subdivided lot? Because no one here has dealt with this issue yet. So, again, I'm really sorry I had to ask you guys to leave, and it wasn't to exclude you in general from making any decision-making. It was so I could give them legal advice, and then we'll come back with a report and tell everybody. And if we want public input about whether it's a good idea, should that application go forward, there's actually two more opportunities for public hearing that are required by the administrative code, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of opportunities before that. So again, I really like you guys. I'm sorry I had to do that to you today, but there's no other way for me to do that, especially when I drive down here for an hour. I got to meet with them in private, basically.
And if I could comment, I don't think there was really any legal advice given, and if there were, there was nothing that was required to be kept from the public.
And I guess that's my concern as to whether we're being too generous in terms of concluding that things require confidentiality, and that if we do that, we're not getting feedback from the public to the extent that we should be.
How did you find out about the meeting, Mr. Clark, by the way? Because we didn't advertise it.
I was told by Ms. Perry.
Yeah, I was talking with him. I've been talking with him for some time, months, about this. And there was a prior meeting that was public when Robin Phillip chaired. And I was on that committee, and it was public. And Bob attended.
Was there a lawyer
and
there?
Yes, no. And I was told by our attorney then that that meeting never should have taken place because the landowner was there. And again, you know, potential litigation. It was an improper meeting.
Well, I just think that we might be too generous in our conclusions that there's the potential for litigation, and that we might, if people are not entirely informed, just make that one of those things that's handled by a committee of the whole, so that we can have votes on that after people express their views as to whether it really should be considered to be an exception to open public meetings.
Mm-hmm. On a question for Mr. Cannon.
Sure.
Just a question. So at what point can these water sewer contracts be put on the website?
So Mr. Holden's is done. Can be put on. I just wrote the resolution. I'm sitting here and emailed it to the clerk. You can put that on tomorrow if you want.
Okay.
Mr.
Not
Lyons,
months.
As you heard here before, had right. some revisions that you guys negotiated
okay.
with him that we'll have to
right,
do.
Right, right.
The resolution is done. You can put that up on the website, but the contract will have to wait. You'll see when you get home in your email box that I just emailed him the MS Word
okay.
version of the document
okay.
to make his edit.
So the clerk can put at least Holden's contract on
yeah.
the website?
Yeah. If you could take it, it's right here.
Okay. And then at our next meeting, we will sign or not sign the
and
contract.
Mr. Holden shows up for
yeah.
June 1st,
right.
since we approved this contract
and
2 days before.
Yes, and the public can discuss those contracts with us at that point. Would
yeah, they can see it. Absolutely.
Is that transparent enough, Bob? You know,
it's... it's the issue involving the swap of land. Yeah.
That's not
no,
this is my water sewer thing.
Yeah,
I don't,
know.
I'm not
so
dealing with that right
I was
now,
focusing
yeah.
on the swap of land
okay.
issue.
But just in terms of transparency, I was at a Board of Education meeting when they were going to re-insulate and stop the leak in the ceiling, and they had a contract with a firm at that point. And the public was invited to discuss that contract with the firm. And I came in, and I didn't know what was going on, but people were discussing that with me, and I got up and started asking, how about this, how about that? And I felt like I was a ringer or something in there because the contractor was like, oh, God, you know. But, yeah, it went down, and the questions were asked, and the people did the job, and they did apparently a great job. But the public had an input after the contract was consummated, I believe, so... You know, but it wasn't signed, I guess. I don't know. You know, so
just the language, the public had an input after the contract was consummated.
But I don't know that it was signed.
Is
yeah. Yeah.
Not really acceptable in terms of public participation.
I know in my union we had 500 guys in the audience.
What does the public
yeah.
bring to the table in negotiating a contract
yeah.
with? And I know, no disrespect. But
yeah.
What, if you answered, let me know. What with a 90-day out contract for a year, what comes with that?
Can I move? It is getting very late, and we were hoping to end these meetings a little earlier. It's exhausting for everyone.
Well, there's a question on the table, and you know, my answer to that question is it brings a lot of insight as to the location and the property involved and what a fair deal is.
Oh, you're talking about the land spot. Well, yeah, that's
yeah.
I was talking about the utilities.
Yeah,
we keep switching back and forth.
What I began talking about and continued to talk about and have talked about to break to the end.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Bob. Okay. Debbie, yeah.
Thank you. Debbie Connors, North Rochdale. Completely different question from everything that's been discussed tonight. I understand, and just from my walkings and drivings around, that we have, at the end of Oscar, a road called Witches Hollow Road. And just out of curiosity, I'd like to know why we haven't maintained that, to have that as a third access for leaving town.
It was brought up last year.
My understanding that historically no one wanted that. But you have a road that will give you an access out and in of town in case of an emergency when you have your other two accesses blocked. So wouldn't it be hove? But even so, it is still there. I understand what you're saying. But it would behove the town to keep that open. I just know that it's come up various times throughout the year.
There was a council meeting last year, and I believe Michael Ticton was involved in this, whereas the county wanted access to some portions of that road, and the council here.
That was for the park system, part of the park system.
Right. So the council said only so much can be used, and that way it could never be a real road again.
I think we didn't, the thinking was they didn't want Millstone speeding through here all the time.
Yeah, or something
well
like that.
I can understand that, but for the residents of the town, I think it would be a nice option for them to have that as an exit point. And also in case of an emergency, you need to have fire department come in. That can be used as quick access if they can't get in from any other way or if they're coming from a different direction. Also with the ambulances. You know, it's foolish not to keep that open.
Thank you.
Mike?
So you're referring to Oscar Drive?
Yep.
This has been a discussion. This was a discussion many years ago. At one point, it actually was passable. It hasn't been passable for the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. Making that road passable would be a tremendous investment, tremendously costly thing, first of all. And basically, there was tremendous sentiment in the town against having traffic coming. There would be traffic coming through there. There'd be people did not want to have that traffic coming down Oscar Drive and coming through the town that way.
That was the position.
And basically, now it's at a point where it's, you know, again, it's a tremendous investment in order to make that passable. Furthermore, now it's not even a road anymore because the county has acquired it as the area where it's bordered on both sides by county property is now part of the county park. It's not a road.
Yeah, that's what I said.
It's not a public road anymore.
Thank you, Mike. All right, we really need to wrap this up. Bob, can you please make this quick?
The first question would be, Bob Clark gave a letter to the council quite a while ago with 3 points in it, and I would like to know what the council has done with that letter. I think it was tabled at the time.
We're aware of it. We've been, as you can see, involved in pressing issues.
Looking to address policy issues, the way that things are handled, right?
And
that's administration committee.
Can we ask that Maureen would look into this and report back to the council suggestions that would implement or what the pluses and minuses of these 3 points would be to analyze what the impact would be on the town?
Can I respond? Yes, I don't know. Since it's the same three, yes, I will. I mean, it's the same three people on finance and administration, and we have to work on the budget. So, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to promise the date. I can't promise the date, but I will say we will. I will put it on a committee agenda.
Okay. Thank you. The next item is Greg was asking, what does the public bring to a negotiation? And the answer is absolutely nothing. It's a legal matter between lawyers, and you have to actually hit the fine points of law. That said, what we're talking about here is not the negotiation of a particular contract, but the basic principle of whether or not the requirements, the legal requirements of bidding and putting something on the street over a certain threshold have been met or ignored by the town. And I know that Peggy has the right to declare an emergency. There's not enough time to put things out for bid. We have to go to a single source. Fine. Do it. Then the next thing to do would be to, after 90 days, have the right written into the contract to renegotiate. Why not put it on the street the day it's signed and then give people 90 days to reply with bidding as per the legal contract specified A, B, C, D, E in the long and detailed legal contract between you and these two operators. The point is that without having it bid on the street, you don't know that there's not some underhanded something. I'm suggesting that there is, but that there are profound implications as to the legalities of doing business wrongly that are not being met by this council. Now, I think, as far as the water sewer goes, you have to have it put on the street sooner or later. That's my two cents on that. Now, on that item, that's what the public would bring to a discussion of this. The public would say, well, fine, if you don't have enough time in 3 months, I think it was 3 months that we've been waiting on this thing, once it was decided that Toby was going and June was coming up, they had 3 months to get into this thing. What the public can do is say, well, what are the other alternatives? Are there other sources of expertise in the state? Are there other companies that can do this thing? Is there a list provided by the Municipalities League that provides these operators? Are there schools that teach this as a skill? You can go to the professors and say, are people
available?
There are
plenty of other places that do that kind of work. However, there's a lot of other logistics that are involved. Are they nearby? Can they get here? Can they get here in 5 minutes?
All this.
It's a very narrow list. All of a sudden, you find out that there's only one person who's doing that work, and that's the person who you talk to, you try to negotiate with, and you see if they can do the job. And that's what we did with one of the contractors.
Fine.
We went, we viewed his work. We were impressed with his articulate nature. I even drank the water and enjoyed it. And
that's the
thing. Guess what? It had no taste at all.
That's good.
It was great.
Yeah.
So I think we moved quickly on that, but things start to narrow down pretty quickly when you have a small system. You need to have an operator who's going to be here and be able to get here quickly. And so all
and
of a sudden,
operate the plant
the
correctly
pool of, the pool
and
of 50 people in the state, right? Fine. Some of who are in North Jersey, some of who are down in Cape May. It's narrowed down considerably, and I think that we did a great job.
Also, I think you did too.
I just want to mention two things. Number one, Section 5 of the Public Contracts Law has a specific exception for the operation of wastewater plants and for water treatment plants.
So
what the governing body decided, and I think I can say this out loud, but characterize it, we need to get someone in place.
Yeah.
We don't like them. There's a 90-day out, which is enough time to put out an RFQ and get someone before it runs out.
That's what should be done.
And after a year, I think the governing body had talked about putting out an RFQ after this one-year contract is up. But you have to deal – these people are going to come in and basically jump into – and I don't think this is getting anything away. The guy came in here tonight and said, I don't know what I'm dealing with. I'll give you the best price I can, but I can't guarantee you anything because I haven't seen your system. So, you know, he's going to have a better idea after a year of what his deal is. But I think you have to treat people like that with good faith. You have to give them at least a 90-day run.
Sure.
If it's, 100%. If it's terrible.
100%.
Also, Bob, you're presupposing underhandedness. And
no,
so
not at all. Not
know,
not one little bit.
These people have come what highly recommended, and also they have professional licenses. If they do anything improper, they're at risk of losing their livelihood.
The other thing is, this is a borough. So there's an election every year.
Understood.
So all the policies you're talking about, if you don't like the way they're doing it, your ultimate recourse is the ballot box, especially in a borough where it only takes 1 year and one day to
understood.
Flip it all the way around.
Separate from all that, my two cents is there's something called a fiduciary trust responsibility. And I would like at some point, not tonight, but maybe for the next meeting, Greg, if you could prepare something for us to let us understand that issue precisely in terms of best practices, bidding, and thresholds.
The borough complies with all of that.
Can I just
the borough complies with everything that you have just mentioned.
What
I'm
if,
glad to hear that.
Bob, Mr. Cragen, what if we speak a year from now and we have better water and lower prices? What would you think about that?
That's great. I also
No, I'm just asking.
I'm
would
agreeing.
That be do, should
That's
we
great.
Put out RFPs then?
You should put out RFPs in 90 days. if you want to cover okay, your cover yourself.
The right. 90 days is only if one of us is unhappy, them or us.
The other thing, too, is we could have awarded this contract for up to 10 years. That's not what they decided to do. They have a 90-day out and a one-year contract.
What,
you know, I think that gives you an indication of how they're protecting and looking out for you guys.
But how do you know you're getting the best value for your money if you don't put something on the street?
The answer is we don't. But
that's
we don't
the answer.
Have, but we don't have the ability to do it at this moment.
We don't have
so
the
this
law
is
right.
the best possible solution that the law allows.
Agreed.
We don't have a magic ball.
That's 90 days. And I'm done. That's pretty basic.
I still threw that out my decision, but I understand your point.
The other thing I'm saying, though, is also I heard recently that it was a rumor passing around that I somehow influenced the Asbury Park Press to do an open request about the water sewer. I'm not guilty of that. I had no conversations with the Asbury Park Press or any other press, actually, about water sewer. Next idea, I was told it was a surprise inspection at the sewer plant. Again, I had nothing to do with that. I had no conversation with. I'm saying the rumors that come back to me.
I don't deal with rumors or propaganda. Not at all.
We need Bob.
Okay. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Please, very, very brief.
Jill Lipote, 17 Pine Drive. I am curious about the latest notice of violation that the borough has received about the water and sewer plant. I read the notice of violation. It was fairly lengthy. There were a lot of issues that were simply reporting errors. But there was a one section that said that when the inspection took place, the comminuter wasn't working. The screw conveyor wasn't working. The primary settling tanks weren't settling. They were full of sludge. The trickling filters were not working. The secondary settling tank was not working. The chlorine contact tank was not working. And pretty much I've just named every single thing at the sewage treatment plant.
Then the plant wasn't working, you're saying?
Pretty much
from what
I'm saying.
From what you read, the plant wasn't working.
The plant wasn't working at all.
That was the DEP report. That was their report.
And so I understand that you've submitted a corrective action plan or a response to this, but that is not on your website. And so that's all I'm asking for is how did you respond
to that? It's the responsibility of the operator to respond, so we can get
and
that document
so
from him.
Can I see it? Can you put it on the website?
You can put that on the website, too, yeah.
Okay. I don't care if you put it on the website. It's a public document. It's our correspondence to DEP. But all those things you mentioned are the operator's responsibility to make sure are operational and maintained properly.
Yeah.
So that's what we're working on
well,
with this contract.
Some of them are not just operational or maintenance. They are issues that might require a bond issue. And so that's why I'm somewhat interested in
so
this.
So far, it doesn't look like any of the sewer plant violations.
I would like to see the corrective action that does not involve any
okay.
capital expense.
Right.
Thank
okay.
you.
Is there anyone that has anything left to say? Okay, it is 9:56. Close the public portion.
Adjournment.
Yes. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Second? Second?
Second.
You guys want to stay here all night? Okay. All in favor?
Yeah, you do.
Yep.
Yes.
Meeting is adjourned.
Time out.